The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, we're moving towards the middle of February already. It's February 8th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, also Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. If you didn't hear the show I did with Richard, it is up. It was outstanding. He talked about all the people that he's watched lift, not everybody, but some of the biggest lifters he's ever seen up close and in person. It was an excellent show. Steven Santangelo, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, period, S-A-N-T-A-N-G-E-L-O, period, 7-5. I'm taking all of Steven's stuff, his greens, his winter formula. He whipped up a batch of vitamin C for me. The guy is outstanding, so check him out. He's a regular on M&M every month, too. www.grasslandbeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood. You might know him as U.S. Wellness Meats, loaded with CLA omega-3s, and he is the only one. Well, I'm sure there's others, but I don't bother with anybody else. They start grass from the start, and they're finished with grass. A lot of people will use some type of grain because they want to fatten it up more. So go with John. He also has grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Jason Fulner, go out to his site and get planofyourworkouts.com. It's a workout logbook, 8x6. You can go out to Amazon and get Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. And on the 24th workout, there's a section to track progress and set new goals. I have one. It is excellently written and put down. This gentleman's a Marine, martial arts for over 20 years, same thing with lifting. And he trains in a shed and listens to our show. So this guy's got notoriety with me right away. StrongerGrip.com. They've been making gear for 10 years. High-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of people like us listening to the show, male and female, StrongerGrip.com. And don't forget to enter the contest to win the sledgehammer that Ryan built for FBC. This thing is 25 pounds. It holds a total of 83 pounds shot. It's approximately around $350. If you haven't seen it, go out. You'll see me all over Facebook slamming the tire with it. It is by far the smoothest sledgehammer I've ever touched. And people will be like, 25 pounds. When it's built with the quality his and the weight is distributed through it, wait, you got to try it. So here's what you do. Go out to Facebook. Upload your video. All right? On the subject line, put FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash with a description. You can go down below and explain it more. And please, don't forget, put your email address into it, because on March 17th, when we pick the winner, if we can't get a hold of you, we go to the next one. So I want to see everybody. I want to see somebody out there win that hammer. Get your logo embossed right in the head. It is sick. So get into this. Join us. Be a winner. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, that's a free ebook on FiorelloBarbellCompany.com. I'm not going to get into a lot. Commit, take action. It's very simple. There's 10 paragraphs to make you think, and sometimes that'll lead you to where you need to go. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. That's all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. I think they're life-changing. I've done everything on them. Strength times power shot in HD. Dennis does everything. I narrate everything. This is most of the routine I use to knock 43 pounds off him in 6 months. The winner's circle, That's 12 audio tapes, MP3s, 4s, whatever they are. I start from my beginnings to where I am today in between. If you like what we talk about here, I'm doing that on my lonesome. You got programs you can install. You can put pieces of it in. Look it. If you want something to really get into and really get something out of that, both of those products are top notch. I've got more coming down the road. I'm experimenting with stuff all the time, and I will pass it on as I get more into it. So don't forget, Fiorello Barbell Co. and Motivation Muscle for both of those. Last but not least is sponsorship. That's a big nut to run here every month to run this show. FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com. Just go out and fill the sheet out, basically, and we're still at $100 a month. We aren't going to change it for another month. You get 5 to 15 shows, $30 of that goes to muscular dystrophy. And as everyone knows, both websites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy. He died of this. A common cold, that's what we're doing right now, flu shots. For $30, you can save a life. And remember this, we're going to be around for at least 25 years. And as I said, join our millions of family members. And, you know, we're not going away, believe me. We're going to come looking for you if you're not going to come to us. So remember, go out to MotivationMuscle.com or FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and you can just fill that out. Jump on board with us, and we'll work with each other for the next 25 years. Well, today we have our monthly guest on here, a good friend of the show. We got Ken Nowicki on here. If you're not familiar with Ken, Ken's a strong man, first and foremost. He also has his website. It's knstrongman.com. This gentleman was born in Scotland. He's won numerous meets in Scotland. I didn't put them all down because we can get into that more, which is really cool. I admire. I never saw this before. He was the strongest person. I'll call him an adult at 17 to lift the Dinny stones, which if any of you know anything about those things are blistering. If you want to find out about them, Bill Crawford and I did a show about a month ago on them. Go listen to that. And he's also lifted the inverse stone. He's been in the Arnold, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll let him go into more detail if you'd like with that. And today we're going to talk about log pressing. And we're going to talk about what you need to do it. And, it, you know, if you see Ken out on Facebook, I just saw recently him doing some pretty nasty log pressing, and we got in this the other day with Andrew Derniat, and you know, over and over and over. So, Ken, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thanks for having me again, Eric.
It's my pleasure. Ken, give everybody a bio about yourself, and we'll get right into this, sir.
Okay, so started strongman the week before my 18th birthday, had my first contest. So I was back in 2006, and just rolled from there, and I ended up going on to win 4 Scottish titles. I got 7th at the Arnold. I competed in China. I competed at Europe's Strongest Man with Zdrunas and Hap Thor and people like that. Moved over to the States in Colorado just over 2 years ago now, and when I moved over here, just strongman took a little bit of a back step just to settle in here and stuff like that. And then now this year, really making a charge for it. I did nationals last year, dieted down to 231 and tore my calf. And then we've come back up since then. I've now gained about 30 pounds since October. And my lean body mass, just going by pictures, looks relatively similar.
It's incredible, man. 206. Think about this, man. 260 pounds and you're lean.
I feel good. I feel very good.
Yeah. No shit. I mean, and we know 30 pounds delivers a little bit of power too to your training too. You got anything else, Ken?
That sums up right now, I think.
Okay. All right. Log pressing. I don't know. I don't know your feeling on it as much as if you like doing it, you know, whether it's one of your favorite exercises. I like putting anything overhead. I just love that. And we're going to talk about log pressing now. Obviously, that's usually an event in any type of strongman contest. When did you first get into log pressing, and tell me your feelings about it, what you think of the movement itself?
So I actually had log at my very first contest. So, you know, I was straight into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was straight into log press right from my very first contest.
What do you think? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No,
go ahead.
What were we going to say?
Well, no. You know, this is the thing about what you're doing and all of us are doing, and I'm trying to kind of push now. We've always pushed pressing on here, but lately, as I told Kenny offline, was, you know, when we had Andrew on here and we were talking about Jake Reynolds and the phenomenal overhead he's got with a log. And not only that, I mean, I've seen him do the inch dumbbell and those big Slater dumbbells too. But, Ken, what would you tell right off the bat, you know, even if you're not involved in competition, because a lot of guys in their backyards lift some big shit.
Sure.
For anybody that hasn't got into a log press, what would you say? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're going to say do it, but what do you think? Is there a benefit using the log press, say, over a one-arm dumbbell or whatever? Is there anything you see that works the body differently, increases more strength, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, I think it all has its place, obviously.
Yep.
The log is just the biomechanics of it just changed so drastically compared to something like a barbell press, you know? And I never I mean, obviously, I realized the biomechanical differences a long time ago, but then working with the guy who does all my diet and stuff, Andrew Triana,
yep.
He does all my diet and all my training, and I thought I had log pressing pretty much down. And you send him videos, he's like, well, do this and make that tiny little change there, and then the actual cumulative change of those two little things is huge.
Yep.
So even now, it's like, you know, I'm still trying to overcome the difficulty of it. So I think it really adds an extra dimension to the lift, and, you know, really actually, if you're trying to challenge yourself into that, it really helps, because if you think about a bar path, you know, with just a barbell, and you have a barbell with like a, you know, what's the handle, like 1.5 inch.
So, yep.
It's pretty universal, you know. It's pretty straight. You can get that bar path pretty straight up and down, and you can stand up pretty well and all that sort of stuff. You go into a log, you have to sit back, like you have to arch back a little bit more. It's out in front of you more. You have to think about pressing it just back a tiny little bit to catch it right. So that all the little nuances are there, and it actually really affects the press.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was me, and even if I wasn't competing, I had access to logs and axles and dumbbells, I'd be doing all of it, to be honest.
Oh yeah, you know. Pressing is a form, you know, there's a few movements, well, there's quite a few that kind of gone by the wayside and probably for decades, I think. I think the log press and stuff like that, obviously World's Strongest Man and all the different levels have brought it back. But let's face it, pressing is not easy. And, you know, you have these guys that are, you know, that's what we're talking about, you know, like Jake is a 230er, right? You would expect numbers like that out of somebody weighing in the threes or bigger. But, you know, something, you can't equate that with body size, because there's many 300-pounders that couldn't lift the 250 overhead, let alone, you know, talking 350 for singles in the gym. I just think that pressing has fallen out of favor. The bench obviously is, to most people, the king of press. But if you ask my opinion, my humble opinion on it, I'd be much more impressed with a 400-pound overhead. Whether you clean it would even be better, but even if you're pulling it off something, which is hard to find, that to me is the lift. I mean, I don't care about a 400-pound bench. I respect it, and I'm talking doing it raw too. No equipment. You know, that thing lays on your chest. You get a clap and you got to press it.
Sure.
Bang. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is another thing I wanted to ask you, where I started doing them again about a week and a half ago, and I haven't pulled them off the ground. Usually if I'm going to pull it real low, I'll pull it off a very short, you know, car tire. But what I've been doing is I've been pulling them off these big wooden blocks I had built for me. And I just think it was easier for me to get started with everything. And I still, you know, I got a little tweaky still on that side of the bicep that was torn and fixed. What do you think of, do you pull much off blocks with them, Ken, or do you do everything off the floor with them?
For the log.
For the log, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, for me in training,
yeah,
I just have, I just put regular bumper plates on there, and then once that's on, then it's, you know, I can get my feet under the log, and
okay, yeah,
and we're all
yep.
good.
Yep.
Then in some contests, you'll do it, you know, you'll do it off of blocks, or you know, the Arnold, they have the big crash mats and all that sort of stuff. So I've done it. I mean, we used to do it with tires back home.
Yeah.
That's what we did it. I'm trying to think. Have I used blocks? I've used like rubber mats and stuff like that. But
yeah, to raise it up.
Same sort of thing, but.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the issue I have at times with the block stuff is that if it's too high, I can't sit,
yeah.
I can't sit into it how I want to, you know?
Yeah.
But typically
yep.
that's not really the case, so. I mean, I've done it. It's just another way to set it up, and it's perfectly fine.
Do you ever, because I've seen people do it, I've never done it. Have you ever put a log in a power rack and just pressed it dead overhead?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. What now, let me, I know, but for anybody out there that hasn't done this, what advantage, how is that going to help your press? And I know, you know, I want you to explain it because I'm big on overloading here and I know what it can do for you, but there's probably some people out in our family here that don't know what exactly it's going to do. So what are the advantages of putting that log in there, whatever height you want to do, and lock it out? What do you feel is some of the best things about it?
I mean, so a lot of people, and there's a big debate on this, I think, that, you know, okay, well, if you're hitting, you know, 400 out, on a log out the rack, then yep. your press is getting better. So, I mean, I've done it in times where I would do some stuff out the rack. It was actually only when I was training with Brian Shaw I ever did stuff out the rack. And we would do some, he had a log, like a rackable log, which was like a 10 inch, I think it was.
Yep.
We'd do that for like, you know, incline presses and some bench stuff. And then if you were doing actual log press, we'd have the regular big log and just hitting that out. Personally, I'm not sure how much it actually benefits. I mean, yeah, you can overload it. You can definitely overload it.
Yep.
But in my opinion, the carryover is not, it's not as good as it would be with, say, let me think. Say something like an axle.
Sure.
Or a
yep.
barbell. It's easier to clean that to your shoulders than it is a log, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you can't clean a 400 pound log, but you can press it from a rack, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know.
Right. Right.
Like,
right.
Like I think the log and the axle, well, the barbell and the axle, that overload principle carries over more.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're in the same position each time. You know, when you clean that axle, you're going to be in the same position every single time. And okay, maybe if you can't clean the 400 pound axle, but you can press out a rack, it's good because you know then you can say you know you have that ability, but your weight is only 350 when you can clean it. Well, you can hit some more reps with the clip with that press once you get it there. If you can hit a 400 pound log but you can't clean it,
yeah,
I mean it doesn't matter because even like okay you can hit a 400 log, you clean a 350, you hit one rep, but then are you going to get that log in the same groove every single time?
Right, exactly.
It's so different with the handles being neutral and the size of it.
Yep.
But like a tiny little switch in your wrists changes the whole dynamic of the lift.
So yeah, well that's this is what I'm gonna. I got two good things for you. I have one of those log bars.
Yep.
And one thing I like about it is, you know, especially, you know, you've had a bicep tear too. Supination a lot of times feels a lot better to everything with me, you know, now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't put the stress on the bicep like it is. So if I'm going to overload it all, I always use the log bar.
Okay.
And a lot of times I'll have the regular, a big log in the driveway on a tire, and I'll go out immediately. That, I don't know, it could be anything for the night, but I'll put the load in the power rack, dead stop, and I'll go out and just do a ton of cleans and presses with it, just to keep getting better and better, getting that thing stoked up the front of me and then locked out above me. And that's one of the things I do. And then second of all, I want to ask you this, because I felt, for me, this has helped me with log pressing, is obviously when you're grabbing a dumbbell handle, you know, that's supination too. I like using oversized, so I'm using a 2-inch bar to do my presses.
Yep.
What's your feeling on like some big handled dumbbell presses? Do you feel that assists the log press itself at all?
When you're sitting in the dumbbell, do you mean like a 1-arm dumbbell?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I'm just thinking of my hand being placed inside the log or on the log bar.
Yeah.
I'm trying to almost do it. I can't simulate it because I'm not using two hands, but I'm trying to simulate it on one side with one hand, and I'm trying to build the shoulder girdle itself in a different way. But on the other hand, you know, the hand is the same. I'm pressing above. I know it's a different lift, but I guess what I'm getting at is I'm trying to take a one-hand movement, and whether it's strengthening it more, you know, working in a little different angle. So I usually just stick with, you know, the big, obviously, what do I want to say? The big log press. Yeah, no, I'm just doing the log press.
Oh, okay.
You know, the log bar in the rack, and obviously the 1-arm 2-inch handle pressing up. Now, I can do a number of things with this too. Besides cleaning off the ground and press it, I've got that apparatus that stretches the width of the power rack where I can lock any dumbbell out through it safely. So I guess, you know, it's been long-winded, but would you, if you haven't done it, do you think that has any merit to helping you with eventually being a very good log presser?
I think it would actually, if you were to do, I think it would be more beneficial for, like, developing shoulder stability.
Yep.
Than carrying over into the log, I think.
Okay.
But then, you know, if you build that shoulder stability, it's ultimately carrying over into the log.
Yes.
Because you get it, if you can have that stability, it's huge in terms of, okay, well, now you can stabilize the log for a startup.
Yep. Yep.
But then, if you can stabilize it, then you just stand there and get your positioning set a lot easier. You can, you know, everything comes down to, and this is what the thing, I saw a post on Facebook Saturday, I think it was, and it was
okay.
Like, oh, people don't miss log presses from lack of strength. They miss it from lack of setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, you clean it, you clean a 400 log, and then you're so worried about actually pressing it, you don't take the time to set up. What I mean by that is, like, you don't take an extra 2 seconds to stabilize, to compose yourself, and all that sort of stuff. If you do that, your power transfer goes through the roof. Whereas if you're not super tight, then it just dissipates into thin air, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there's definitely, merit to it in terms of,
yeah,
you know, you build a bigger shoulder, then you can hold the log tighter. You know, that's when it comes down.
Without a doubt, Ken. And I'll tell you, I just think that whenever you're nailing something dead stop off pins, whether it's a dumbbell in that apparatus I got in my rack or using that log bar right off the rods itself, You know, what people are going to tell you, you lose in weight because of doing that. I believe not only do you gain in size, but you have stability, like you were saying. I mean, when you can, I don't care if you could take a 300-pound log bar and press it from the top of your forehead up and hold that. That's definitely going to transfer into a log press. There's no doubt about it, because the strength that you're building through the girdle, and then you're taking, and think about this too, and then you're messing around with a 2-inch dumbbell handle, and you're popping that thing dead stop off there, bracing your other arm against a post on the power rack, and holding that thing with a lockout. That's going to give you some monster development. And we know it's not only going to hit the shoulder girdle, you got your upper back, and, you know, you're tensing your legs. Anything over the top, you know, you're working musculature. So I always just felt that's what I do. I felt that worked for me. And I just think, you know, you got to do what you feel works for you. But I just don't think that you'll lose in the battle when you're messing around that kind of stuff.
No,
that's all.
I just agree.
And you know what else too, Ken? It's a confidence builder. You remember, you just hit it right on the head. Okay, you did your 400-pound clean, but we're not coiled tight, number one. We're not thinking correctly, because all we wanted to do was clean it up to the shoulders. And you didn't, and, you know, instead of when you did that and executing right away, you stood there and you still thought, and usually, you know, you're going to bomb at that point if you even get it off your clavicle at that point, so to speak. You know, that's just not going to work for you.
Right.
Let's go into some of the movements you use, especially to, you know, build a really nasty, strict log press. And I'll let you take off. I know what I'm going to say when we come back, if you haven't already said it, but I will add to it. What do you think are some of if you had to pick a few movements that you use or you would recommend to everybody listening, what would they be?
So, I mean, one of the big things that we did after Nationals, and obviously after Nationals I had that calf tear.
Yep.
It was really about getting bigger and you know, gaining muscle size and all that sort of stuff. But I think it actually carried over very, very well to my pressing, because, you know, I did a lot of very slow tempo work with
Yep.
We did, let me think, we did hex press, so like the dumbbells are together and you're really mm-hmm. focusing in on like your middle chest. That we did a lot of decline dumbbells, a lot of flat dumbbell work, like three quarter motion stuff. So, you know, it's always constant tension.
Yep.
A lot of overhead, lateral raises, a lot of upper back work, a lot of like, you know, bent over rows. A lot of rear delt work, all that sort of stuff. Just it carries over hugely. And then mm-hmm. and then now we have me doing I bench press twice a week.
Do you really? Okay.
And I do strict overhead once. And it was the other way around for a little while, and then we switched it. So I mean, all that stuff is just gaining my press.
Yep.
When I clean a log these days, I think because we did so much of that inner chest work, when I actually, because one of the cues I got was squeeze your elbows, because it creates a stronger rack position.
Yep.
And then I think because I can squeeze them so tight, because I did some of that chest stuff.
Yep.
I just feel a hell of a lot tighter. Plus my upper back is a lot stronger and a lot bigger. So I can stand there and it's not a problem at all, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. What bench press? That's interesting you say that. Why the bench press? I mean, because of such, obviously, front deltoids, you need a lot of tricep anytime you're putting overhead, obviously lifting stones. It's real important to have big, big triceps. What propelled you or talked you into doing that? And What do you think kind of carryover? We'll just talk about the flat bench. What's that done for you, you think?
So I was originally doing flat bench, and I only did I was doing it just because I do it in total type thing. You know, Andrew does all my training and all my diet, and when the email comes through on a Monday morning and it says this is the week, I'm like, okay, sounds good, you know?
Yep.
So So we were doing a lot of flat bench. We actually switched it about 2 or 3 weeks ago now into neutral grip floor press.
Yep. Yep.
And the reason for that was that I was having some like shoulder and bicep issues on my right arm, and we were doing we did flat dumbbells to finish one day in neutral grip.
Yep.
And I noticed that doing that, it wasn't hurting my shoulder and stuff as much.
Right.
I was like, hey, I want to try doing Swiss bar floor to see if having that neutral grip and then killing that range a tiny little bit.
Yep.
And that would help my arm, and it helped. It's responding very well, actually.
So when you say Swiss bar, are you talking the one that's got three? You got a total of six different grips on it. Is that what you're talking about?
I think the Swiss bar is when they're all parallel, and then a foot bar is when they're angled. I think that's
That's what I use too. I've got it'll have an outside, an inside, or a middle and an inside on each side, and that's what I use to bench press because then I can hit my chest at any angle I want. And like you, I've been having the same stuff. The bicep that was torn, and a lot of the shoulder stuff. And I've never had shoulder issues until last year. And I've been doing a lot of experimenting with weight workouts, quite light before I go into anything. And I'll hit this next with you. And I'm still screwing around with some stuff, but I'm finding I can do body weight to warm up a little bit beforehand, but when I'm finding that a lighter weight on a barbell, whether I'm doing light high pulls, whether I'm doing some type of a flat bench if I want to get into it, whether I'm doing all that dead stop stuff where we got outside where I'll take a big dumbbell, it's suspended. If I get caught, it just hangs and I crawl out. Because what I found when I went to Iceland the last time, especially, is that stone, and I've read other people saying it, that it likes to rock forward on you. And when something's pulling in those insertions, especially in your pec, that is something I don't even want to think about there. And we know pec tears are huge. And so I went to this one-arm dumbbell tactic, and we took my buddy's an electrician when we built this whole big 6x6 apparatus into the ground. These things, these cables, you'll see these, Ken, I'll have to send you a picture. And they've got, you know, they're rounded on the end. All you have to do is slip the ends of the dumbbells through them. You can break these things with anything on. I don't care if you put 300-pound dumbbell, they're not going to ever snap. And the thing I like about it is, you know, you train alone. I don't want to get caught with a big set of dumbbells on me and can't get out, you know. So it's a very good way to do flat benches with dumbbells. You can do them single or you can do them both together. And the beauty of it is, like anything, when you can get out from under it with no damage, that's all I give a shit about.
Yes.
You know. But here's what I want to ask you. I feel the front squat has probably got the most transfer to stones, especially, I think, overhead. Because, you know, we know everything's out in front of you. And don't get me wrong, I love back squats. I still do them. But I've been doing mostly front squats again with the Apollon axle across my throat because I fold my arms.
Yep.
What do you feel, squat? Are we in agreement here, front squat or a little back? Or what do you like to do for the legs, especially when you're going overhead?
Oh, I think front squat, I think you hit the nail on the head. Front squat is absolutely huge for strongman, I think, in general. You know, like everything you're doing, like you do a load on it with a stone or a bag or a keg over a bar, you run with, like, everything is in front of you, typically.
Yeah, yep.
So, I mean, I front squat every single week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Front squat every week on a Tuesday, and then on Thursday I do back squat, actually.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you still stick. Now, when you're doing backs accompanied with that, are you loading the body, the spine real hard with them, or are you using that just in a whole different way? How are you putting the two together?
Oh, no, we, like, so if you take, like, last week, for instance, I did, let me think, what was it? Last week, we did a deload week 2 weeks ago, and then last week was just getting back into it type thing. So last week I hit 450 on the front squat, and then into three triples at 380.
Nice.
And then and we had been doing, you know, basically all my rep work, all my numbers were the same in terms of sets and reps, but then we take it down to where back squat now is just up to a single.
Yep.
And we didn't do any reps after that one.
Okay.
But I mean, I still hit 545 on back squat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful lift. I mean, look at what you're doing fronts. I mean, let me ask you this, though. When you front squat, do you cross your arms or do a clean style?
Cross them. I've done them clean at times. It really hammers my wrists, so
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I asked you that is because, you know, you've had a torn bicep too. Does it ever bother you at all, folding your arms? Do you ever feel – because what I feel, even though I'm warm, sometimes the first set I'll feel like a slight pull through the butt. Like it feels like the bicep needs to be stretched more. And it doesn't matter how warm I get that. It doesn't happen every time, but there will be times when that happens. And sometimes, you know, once again, that gives me round of pause where I'll maybe stop a little bit and then fire it back up. But have you had anything like that ever?
I definitely felt my bicep. I think it was more from like almost if I would lose position and it would roll through or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
One of the big things I started doing was I don't wear a belt with anything anymore.
Yeah, I'm
stopping. I wear a belt on deadlift and I wear a belt on log press, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I go and hit a big squat, be it front or back or reps or whatever, it's all beltless. I'll put, like, the Reebok neoprene on there.
Yep.
Just for warmth. But the transfer is huge because when I come to stand there with a log press,
yeah,
there's nothing there, you know?
Yeah. You built that midsection, and, you know, that's what people – look, at any time you're doing stuff where, you know, a squat, some type of big support, obviously, that's why I laugh when people are talking always about, you know, we got to do this for the core, which I hate that word. And it's like, no, the body needs to be trained fully. And when you train a body – think about this too. I mean, what you've got over your head with a log or anybody for that matter – you better have a midsection that can support that, because you and I both know that's the weak link. And if you don't have a strong midsection, you're not putting big numbers overhead. You're not going to squat big. You know, it's going to take time to build that up. So, I think going beltless is something everybody should start doing, because there's another big carryover to what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. And the thing with the beltless stuff, it wasn't even just a case of, oh, I'm going to do beltless. It was a case of, oh, well, let me see what let me just feel, see how it feels with this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because beforehand, you know, I would hit, three plates on a front squat, and after that, it would be, you know, belt all the time. I'd hit four plates on a back squat, and it'd be belt on after that every time.
Yep.
And it was just, we did a lot of, tempo work after nationals. I didn't wear a belt at all for that, and it was huge. So when we transferred into my strength phase, we had a couple of days where we were, you know, 2 weeks where he'd have me finish with a marathon set. So like my last marathon set of front squat was 375 for max reps in 90 seconds.
Nice.
So I wore a belt for that one just before that, because I was like, well, shit, it's, you know, this is heavy.
Yeah.
And then once I hit that, I'm like, he basically said, if you can, you know, do as many as you can, rack it.
Yep.
And you can rest as you need through that set, but you get 90 seconds and that's it. I hit 11 reps and I lost my 12th one forward. I think just from position. I think if I had not lost my position, I would have hit 15 reps with a 375 front squat.
That's nasty as hell,
like,
man.
Well, where the hell did this come from? You know, I think it was one from all the tempo work.
Yep.
Because you learn to stabilize a hell of a lot more. and from the no belt. So when we came back into the strength stuff, I was like, you know what? I've always worn a belt for these top sets. Let me see what I can do without it.
Yep.
It was huge.
Yep. Well, you know what it is too, Ken? It's the confidence, man. And sometimes when you do things, you know, I've done stuff where I didn't even realize I had a belt off and I went and did it. I think that's something you got to learn not to depend upon. If you're getting into something real heavy, yeah, throw it on. But, you know, 375-pound front squat with no belt is pretty goddamn heavy. And it's like when you can knock off that many reps, obviously you've built quite a midsection on yourself, and that's going to take you a lot long. You know, think about it. If the belt is your crutch, how are you ever going to do anything? You know, that's the whole point. And you got, you know, there's just certain things you got to get away from and stand on your own. Well, that's perfect. Stand on your own 2 feet and do it. I mean, that's, you know, think about this. And, you know, I've thought about this a million times. You know, it's just like when they talk about everybody's got to warm up. Well, you know, here's the example. If you're on the train tracks and a train's coming, are you going to warm up or are you going to launch into the fastest sprint of your life to get out of the way, right? If you warm up, you're as good as chopped in half, okay? And it's the same thing with, you know, the same thing with being strong standing on your feet. How many people, I don't know about you, I love to watch old fights, you know, the real stuff in 100-plus degree weather when you see like a Jack Dempsey fight. And these guys are getting just totaled with everything. And it's just like the guy that's stronger on his feet through his midsection is usually going to win, man.
Oh, yeah.
And they can absorb multiple blows. How many people have we seen knocked down, but they come back and end up winning? So I think that you've hit something that we've never even talked about on here, you know, not using belts. And I think that's a killer. I mean, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. Another thing. As you brought it up, and I think it's another lost lift, and I think it transfers to everything, is the good old-fashioned bent row. What's your feeling on that?
I think it's huge. I mean,
yeah,
we did a lot of pendlay row with my stuff, so when you're actually,
yeah,
like, you know, you're stopping at the bottom every time, I'm like, it's huge. I like that a lot more than actually than the regular bent over row. Simply,
yep,
for the fact that, you know, it just felt like, you know, the power transfer felt better, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer, and I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, Richard Soren said it, Andrew, all these guys. And I'm kind of getting more and more in agreement with them. The one-arm bent row is like the king.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
kind of like it's an underrated movement. You don't think about it, but I know more people that told me they gotten stronger off doing one arm rows, whether you use a 1-inch, 2-inch, whatever you want to use, than anything. What's your feeling on that, Ken?
I mean, I think that's the same thing, you know, like,
yeah, yeah, like, yep.
And the thing is, we started doing everything where it was like very controlled, you know, like, and like,
yeah,
you know, very slow on the way down, or he has me doing dead stop stuff a lot of the time.
Oh, that's, dude, I love it.
It was huge.
Best. I'm telling you right now, that little medley I've got with, you know, the log press, obviously the bar off the rods, same way with the dumbbell off that big piece that we built, and then obviously you go out and lift that log. I'm telling you right now, man. For anything, for anybody, you know, and everybody's always like the pump. It's a whole different style of a pump, man. When you look at somebody that's done something like that, it's not all that puffied up shit. It's like you can literally see, if your skin is thin enough, you'll see cable like coming out of your skin, meaning ligament and tendon, man. And the muscle bellies that you can build off this stuff is incredible. And that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for bigger muscle bellies, a lot of energy in them. So when we grab a 400-pound log, we can snap that fucker right over our head, man. And that's what it's all about. And I think the bent row, whether you want to do two hands or one arm, I think for the money, I can tell you just from lifting stones how much that's improved my stone lifting in the last 6 months.
Well, that's what
just
I was
doing that.
Say. I mean, for,
yep,
me,
yeah,
the,
yep,
doing that pendlay row was actually,
yep,
huge, because when you come to something like a sandbag,
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, like, I mean, we were doing it, so, I mean, I would, because it's dead stop, you know, I would put straps on, we'd go heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm just pulling everything to my midsection like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So when you come to a sandbag, it's very similar, because we try and relate the grip back to something like that, you know? So that little bit wider grip, so that when you get your hands under the sandbag and you scoop it, you pull straight to that midsection, and it's exactly the same motion, and it was perfect for that.
Yep. Well, I do a lot of rock rows, mainly because when we were talking with Bill Crawford, and I mean that guy knows, you know, he's a champion stone lifter. And it's like, what you got to do more than ever, you got to start digging your fingers in the stones and rowing them. And I'm like, okay. He goes, because the weak link is going to be the fingers, the hands, and the wrist. Usually, you can have a 700 pound deadlift. That doesn't mean you're lifting a 200 pound Atlas stone off the ground if you don't have the finger power.
Exactly.
And the funny thing is, Ken, I've gotten arguments with people about this, and they're like, well, how do you explain that? The guy's got to have strong I said, probably does, but chances are they're using straps too, all right? And that's going to help you out a little bit. And I was like, well, you know, all you can do is just find somebody that likes to do that and give them a 200-pound Atlas stone and see if they can lift it. But if they do, they'll probably lift it pretty shabbily, and they're not going to know how to do foot positions and this and that. Great, they lift it, but if you put a 230-pound stone in front of them, I'd almost bet you my last dollar that thing's not coming off the ground. So that's one of the big things I like to do is stones. And I'll tell you another thing I've been doing. It is an isometric to me, and I'm big on that stuff, is I'll take – it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a 50-pound stone, row it up, dig my fingers into it, and I'll press that and push that as hard as I can against the garage cement wall.
Okay.
Just make sure your feet are out of the way,
because
I can tell you every time I drop the stone, I lose my hands right there. I'm going to tell you, man, my veins and the muscles in my hands are just like growing like crazy, and I attributed that one of the main things is to doing that movement. And I tell people, and they're like, does that really work? I'm like, well, what do you got? I mean, the point I'm trying to make is there's great implements out there. We know pinch blocks. We know like Titan's Telegraph. You know, there's all kinds of grip machines, et cetera, et cetera. But I've had some of the best moments taking two bricks and duct taping them together and just taking them and grabbing them and walking with them. Getting a lot of feel like that in the fingers and everything. And let's face it, that stuff is really going to dictate everything you do. And I just like the feeling, you know, you're talking midsection. Well, you know, just think the tension you're putting on your body when you got a stone that you're pushing your fingers in and pressing that thing right against a garage wall. I mean, you're talking some serious, and you're standing up, which I believe standing up is still the best, et cetera, et cetera. If you got anything you want to add to it, Ken, go ahead. That's just something kind of off the path, but I like to tell people what I'm doing.
I think that's huge. I mean, and as you say, like, if you miss a stone, it's because you can't hold on to it, you know?
No.
I think it would actually, the stone of steel is going to be in the Arnold this year. It's like a metal Atlas stone, which is just plate loadable.
Really? Cool.
And it's like, you know, I mean, obviously it's a different feeling because of the way it loads with the plates being in the middle of it.
Yep.
But people will say, oh, well, it's hard to hold on to and this and this and this. I'm like, well, typically it's going to be because your hands, you know.
There you go.
People would say, oh, well, you need to squeeze it with your forearms. I'm like, well, that's true to an extent. But end of the day, everything comes from hands. So you have to have strength in that extended position too.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you something you'll like. I have a number of millstones here.
Yep.
And they're all drilled out in the center, okay?
Okay.
And I think you'll like this. If I want to put more weight on them, I only have ones at 220 and 370, so there's a massive jump between them, obviously. I just did this by accident. I got one of those big, huge loading pins, and they make I got it mainly because this is specifically used to put plates on to simulate an Atlas stone lift, because a lot of my stones get frozen to the ground when it's real bad here.
Yeah.
So I wanted something I could screw around with all the time besides the Husa steels out there. And I just came up with the idea. It's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick that loading pin right through the center of the millstone. And what I do is I push the plate. I'll take a flat plate and put, you know, make sure like whatever it says on the plate, the poundage is facing the millstone, and start loading plates on there and collar it. Number one, you better have strong hands because, you know, you got a lot of top heavy on you now, and it's trying to, like, force itself, you know, take the nose and put it down in the ground because of that long steel loader.
Yep.
But let me tell you something, dude. You pick that thing up, like, we'll take them off all different heights. A good way to start them is we have 55-gallon drums to get used to it. We'll start them like that. The feel is unbelievable. When you wrap around that and you kind of got to let it sink back on you and you go off with that thing, it is extremely awesome to do. So that's kind of like another little wrinkle I do here with people. And once again, you know, midsection, 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 speed, 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 extreme power. And not only that, it's fun as hell to do.
Sounds interesting, actually.
Yeah, I got a lot of interest in stuff, dude. I mean, one day it's all going to come out, you know, whether it's all film or in a book or whatever. But I'm doing some really unique stuff here, and I think that a lot of it is due to being alone. You know, I mean,
yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to figure out a way I can train as heavy as I can possibly go with no one here.
Exactly.
And you and I both know this stuff that we do. You're not going to get a ton of takers coming up my driveway for it. It's going to be like, that stuff's good, but maybe they come one time and that's the end of it. They're not coming back. It's brutalizing to you both physically and mentally, and you got to really like be into this stuff. To me, to do any of this kind of stuff, you got to have a mentality that's not like most people's, and they'll be like, you know, and you know the deal, too. It's like, well, why do you want to do it and all that? It's like, I don't even get into that with people anymore. I could care less now. It's not worth it. So we're getting near the end anyways. But, I mean, we can talk on some more stuff. So if you had to pick, if I came to you and said, Ken, what do I need? We've talked about, unless there's other things you want to add with exercises. If I came to you and said, hey, look, I want to start lifting logs overhead. I've never done it, but I've been training for, say, 10 years, and I've done some decent weights. What would you tell me to get started to start lifting a log that you think exercise-wise would give me the most benefit to get rolling?
I think the biggest thing is just to lift the log.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
At times, I think we overcomplicate things a lot more than at times. I think a lot of the time,
I agree.
We overcomplicate things. We're like, well, you know, what can I do, say, like, same as like deadlift? How can I get better at deadlift?
Yep.
Well, deadlift, you know?
And, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, okay, maybe from different heights and stuff like that is good. When it comes to that, for me, a big thing with my deadlift was actually a lot of tempo work and even like pulling from the floor and doing a lot of reps, but not touching the floor.
Right.
Reps. Same thing with log. Like, just to get good at log, you have to get just hammer log, 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 log.
Yep.
You have to get that movement pattern done. That's by far the biggest thing, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like, okay, hammer log so that you get used to the clean, you get used to the feel of how it is in your chest and your hand position on your chest. Do some stuff at the rack.
Yep.
A lot of dumbbell work for shoulder stability.
Yep.
A lot of upper back work. That's a big thing. A lot of people don't realize that upper back is such a pivotal part of overhead pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, if you can't stabilize it in your upper back, then you can't do anything with that weight, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The more you hit your upper back, the better.
What about, so we're talking a lot of, because we didn't even really hit that. A lot of trap work. I'm a big believer. I like high pulls a lot. Obviously, people are going to talk shrugs. We know the bent row really nails the upper back. You know, a lot of people use pull downs and things like that. I don't get into any of that stuff. I strictly stay with the weights. We know nothing really works the upper back like overhead too. I mean,
oh yeah.
But is there anything else? I mean, what else is there anything else you'd say to do upper back?
Well, rear delt work. That's the big thing.
Yep.
So rear
okay.
Delt is huge for it.
What do you mainly do when you're doing rear delt work? What do you like to do?
We do a lot of just bent over flies.
Yep.
But very controlled, really depressing the shoulder blades and so that you're not using trap and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's a huge thing with my routine.
But I mean, do you still do any type of trap work and things like that?
No, not really.
Anything?
Like through this whole strength cycle, I don't think I've even done a bent over row in this strength cycle.
Because
I've been hitting my deadlift so hard and hitting all like the overheads and the benches and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
We would do some dumbbell work. Like a lot of like the bent over stuff for like bent over flies for rear delts and like flat and incline dumbbells and decline dumbbells.
Yep.
But that and that's been it, you know, and that's been huge for me. But then, you know, before we started this phase, I did a lot of bent rows, a lot of pendley rows. So it's just different type of training, different period of the year.
Yep.
But you know, when we were doing all that stuff, it was huge.
Yeah. I think we had Wayne Johnson on here last week, and he's been doing declines forever. He believes in declines like crazy. And I think they're a great movement, but you know, that's another movement. I think most people wouldn't even know what a decline bench is if they had to use one.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, you know, the stuff has kind of disappeared, but it's definitely formidable as hell to get you where you want to go. And I think that, you know, what you're doing, obviously, you know, you're doing a few different things every time you plug in your routine and all that. I think that's real important because there is such a word as going stale with your training.
Yes.
Whether you go stale mentally or physically. And I believe, you know, but you've hit upon the stuff we're talking about here. The basic movements are still going to have the carryover, whether it's overhead, the bench, the deadlift, the row. These are tried and true movements that will build championship quality out of you if that's what you are going after. And obviously when you're doing the bent flies and things like that, there's other areas that you have to shore up that maybe you aren't getting with the other movements, maybe not enough direct, which are positively great, because if you're concentrating on an area that you feel that you need help in, you've got to do everything you can for it. But I think that you also, like you said, you know, you got to get out there and you've got to do what is given to you. You know, you've got somebody good really giving you some excellent training advice, obviously, diet, the movements, and, you know, obviously it's agreeing with what you do physically and mentally. And, you know, let's face it, man, like when you're saying you're lean at 260, you're not going to hear many people saying I'm lean at 260. So you've got a formidable package there that should, you know, get you to wherever you want to get. And that's probably going to be my last question here. What do you got? What's big coming up this year for you, Ken, as far as strongman or anything? You got anything in place you're getting ready to go into?
So originally it was going to be the Hudson Valley contest in when's that? In April.
Okay.
But we're reassessing that because there's a big contest later in the year, which is actually it's like a pre-qualifier for Giants Live, which then leads to Worlds.
Nice.
So I really want to turn out for that in very good shape. So
okay.
That's the main focus right now. We're still trying to put a calendar together. We're just waiting for some dates to come out. But that's going to be the big one, I think.
Okay, so if you go in this big meet, what are you? I want to know weight classifications. Is there a lightweight or a light heavy class, or are you lumped right in with the heavies then?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think I'll be by that point in time I'll be heavy. I mean, by the time that, because that's in summer, like by the time I come, I'll probably be 280 by the time that comes around.
Wow, that'd be Jesus, dude.
Yeah,
that's friggin' awesome,
yeah.
Man.
I'll be even bigger now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, and you keep growing and keeping your body fat down. I mean, that's at 280. You ought to be pretty goddamn nasty, dude.
Oh yeah, that'll be good.
As they say, the bigger the better, I guess. When you want to do that, that'd be cool. So if you get that, you go in the giant. This meet is in the United States. Would the Giants be in the United States, or is that over in Europe?
I believe it'll probably be Europe somewhere. I'm not sure.
I figured. I don't even know where are they going to host WSM.
I've not heard. I bet it'll be Malaysia again. That's my guess.
Okay, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's awesome to look forward to. Holy shit, man, that's cool as hell. Yeah. you got anything else you want to add?
I don't think so, man. I think we're good. Yeah.
Good show. Absolutely. Why don't you give out all your information, Ken? I'll give mine. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, all at Ken Strongman. That's the username. And then the website, again, kenstrongman.com. It's all on there. So hit me up and let's grow this thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just like... That's the beauty of everything. It's nice to see people. Most of the people on this show are entrepreneurs or they want to be, and it's a good thing to be able to push things out and help everybody out. That's all I want to do with everybody. So you got everything out, Ken?
I think so. I think I'm good.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo for Athlete's Choice. Go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. www.grasslandbeef.com, our good friend John Wood. Don't forget, his meat is loaded with CLAs and omega-3s. Also, grass started, grass finished. He also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Planetyourworkouts.com, you can get that from Jason Fulner. Obviously, too, you can get it off Amazon Prime for $5. Go out and check it out. I've got it. It's you want a good workout log, 8x6, that's the one. So go out there and check that out. Also, StrongerGrip.com. He's been doing handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. They've made it for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, trophies for ESPN. He's been featured in Men's Health. And Ryan's built custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of other strength people. Don't forget, StrongerGrip.com. Don't forget about the contest to win the same sledgehammer that I have that Ryan made for FBC. It is extraordinary. It is balanced as can be. All you have to do, take your best lift, load it up, upload it to Facebook. Make sure you type in on the subject line FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash what it is. You can go down below and explain it. Make sure you leave an email address because if you win, we want to be able to contact you. So the contest goes to St. Patrick's Day, which is March 17th. We hope you'll get into it because this is a beautiful hammer, $350 hammer. Come in, join with us, and you'll be able to come on Motivation Muscle and do a show with me too. So check that out. Also, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. Just download it. Like I say, commit, take action. Strength times power equals success. And the winner's circle, my two biggest products to date. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and Motivation Muscle. You can see them both. all I can tell you is if you want to change yourself, first you got to want to do it. Take the responsibility. I'll help you with anything here. You can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Also, too, don't forget about sponsorship. You sponsor us right now. It's $100. $30 goes to muscular dystrophy for flu shots for the kids. Like I said, we're going to be around for at least 25 years. I promise you the best 25 years of your life if you stay with us. As I said, we're millions strong. Our family is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm telling you, we're going to rule the world, man. Everyone's going to know who FBC and M&M is, and with all the people I got here, guys like Ken, we got more knowledge and content than anybody out there, and we're just going to keep presenting solutions and things to make you want to get bigger and stronger and help others once you learn from us. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com. Don't forget, too, if you want to leave a comment, you're more than welcome to, but, you know, keep it professional. That's the way we want it. You can be passionate, but keep it professional. If there's a show you'd like Ken and I to do, because Ken is on here monthly with us now, go out to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. FiorelloBarbellCo.com. MotivationAndMuscle.com or on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and we thank everybody. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these 5 things. Number 1, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of wisdom. Remember, words can do an awful lot of good things for people. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a low. That might be all they get. And if you're going to go out like me tonight, go out and lift some big iron, bend some iron, and turn some stones into dust. And as the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We are millions strong. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. And as I always say, no one's going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. And before we sign off, I want to tell you, I want to give you a good verse today to think about. This is by a great, great guy called Zig Ziglar. If you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Think about those words. Ken, thanks for being on, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime. I love having you on. So for Ken Nowicki, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to us. Ken will be on in March, and we're just going to have a ton more. We got gangs of shows this week. I'm looking here right now. I've got 13 shows, so here we go. And we'll talk to you soon. Be a steward of strength, and don't stand on the side of the road. Tell somebody out there about us. There's millions more, and we want you in our family. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.